All right, welcome everyone back to Overdunk, your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. My name is Zonks, joined as always by Bridget, and today we got a very, very special guest. You know him from YouTube, dominating the Unite ladder via wheel, or potentially some of my favorite Let's Play content on the platform. We got Nexus joining us. How you doing, my friend?
Hi, so happy to be here. Thanks for having me here. I very much appreciate the honor is all mine. I bow to that.
It's so good to have you here, finally. I mean, I feel like we've been trying to put this on the books for a while. We know you like the game. We know you're excited about it. So this is fun. This is going to be a good time.
Like, it might be I'm almost at 4,000 hours. Like, is a little...
Yeah. Okay, well, perfect. You're going to fit right in this game. Don't worry. I think it was Buzzer Bob replied to the tweet I had earlier on today announcing that we were having it. He was like, super excited you were joining the show. And then I was like, I don't know if we could find a guest more excited about the new news coming to Pokemon Unite than Nexus, genuinely. So we'll jump into that here a little bit.
Yeah, that's actually crazy because, you know, those my childhood days in Pokemon. Was like, Next Y came out, you know? So I was like, yeah, that's awesome.
You started doing YouTube content, like Gen 6, right? That was your...
I did, yeah. I did a little bit of it in Black and White, too, for a while. Okay. But, I mean, those are high school days. I talked so much smack. Several accounts banned on Showdown. Those are days...
Classic.
The 17-year-old days are behind me. You
okay.
know what I mean?
But, yeah, good to hear.
X and Y, it was like my bread and butter, you know? Okay. That's how, like, we're Kalos, we got Megas back, we got ZA, and, like, month and a half. You know, we got Megas and everywhere damn near. Like, we're good.
Yeah.
We're good.
They're cross-promoing pretty hard with this one, which cool that Unite's involved, you know? All we want to be is involved.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, they tweeted it yesterday on the freaking on the main accounts. I was like, whoa.
It's nuts. How about you, Bridget, though? Crazy. How have you been this last week?
I've been great. As we were kind of joking about before the podcast, mm-hmm. we've had a plethora of news for Unite, even just over the past week. It's been so fun to follow along. It just feels like every other day I'm seeing something I would never imagine to see on my timeline. So it's awesome. I've had a great week.
It does feel a little bizarre that we're having this much content. I think we barely talked about like the world's announcements for Unite at the end of our last episode. So apologies to everybody.
Kind of a quick
ending to the podcast last time we were on when we were doing our world's like reflection episode. I unfortunately had some like things I needed to take care of that evening. But yeah, we got announcements a lot. Why don't we just gauge the room a little bit on those? Let's start with you, Bridget. How are we feeling about Empoleon, Delmize, and Vaporeon getting added after Palmot, which we now have video of because of a really cool event, but we can talk about that even a little after. But those four Pokemon, let's just quick thoughts because everyone's kind of moved on past them, but we have it. So which one are you most excited for and how do you feel about these releases?
I mean, honestly, like personally, definitely Vaporeon. Mm-hmm. It's the one I see myself playing the most. It was always rumored to be a support, but it's going to be a defender. Maybe it'll be Umbreon-esque in that way that it can flex a little bit more.
Ooh,
but the one I probably popped off the most to was Delmize. I just want to make Hook references, but I'm really trying not to. Just out of left field, out of left hook. I think it even showed them like just like the chain at first, and it was I don't know. It was very fun to see in person, but I like the random picks that they put in sometimes. So I am still pretty excited about these guys, even though they're maybe the smaller players that are coming in.
I think we got to shine the spotlight on them a little bit too. I love Delmize. I don't know if we need another Grass Ghost Pokemon in the game, but I don't know if Pokemon needs more Grass Ghost Pokemon. They're kind of...
This is the third, you're right.
But there is 1,000 of them at this point. Like, you can't explore Pokemon universe run into them.
Let's get it.
Sinistra would actually be a crazy support. Can you imagine Sinistra? I'd probably prefer them to Poltegeist. Okay, we can't start theorizing already. We have so much more to be talking about on this episode. But I'm pretty pumped about Delmize. I have to admit, I'm a pretty huge Empoleon fan. Plus, it's the Pokemon that I've been saying is coming to the game forever. So I'm pretty psyched about that one, that it's actually happening. But Nexus, how about you? Out of those four, we'll include Palmot into the mix. Which one are you most pumped about?
So this is weird. So, okay. Well, let's just start off the elephant in the room. This might be hate. I don't care about Vaporeon.
Okay.
That was like, it might be hate. It might be a little hate, but it's just like, okay, it's walk with me on this, right? When you wake up in the morning, you know you're going to brush your teeth. You know you're going to eat. Vaporeon, you knew was coming to the game. You know what I mean? So it just was like, okay, cool. You know what I mean? Cool.
Just took them like 4 or 5 years. Listen, this is the first time we've had to implement this rule. Duncan, you might not even know about this one. Nexus is on his first strike, but we continue, please.
This rule is, okay, might be.
Surprise rules. Yeah.
So I think in terms of hypeness, it's not even close with Delmize. I think he has like triple S tier, like, because I actually used my Ultra Sun like launch playthrough, my Ultra Moon one. Like, I like that mod. Okay. I like him. He's like a sphere on a anchored abandoned ship, you know, and it's layers because it's an abandoned ship and Hoenn, there's layers to it. You know what I'm saying? There's layers. So I rock with that. Empoleon, I know like Pokken, so I kind of have to like that. But I'm more Pomod second than Empoleon, because I'm like, I think it's the playstyle. Like, I like Empoleon more, but I'm huge on playstyles. I think that's what I really think Unite excels at, is like how they designed the mod. I think so far they've been killing that. So I'm like, the way that I think Pomod is designed, I think it's good and I like it. No, Revival Blessing is like crazy, but
Okay, I'm glad you agree.
We're gonna deal with that and home. Yeah, no, it's weird because I'm just like, that was the whole gimmick. That's like the whole thing of the mod, you know? So
I agree. Yeah, a little wild.
And then Empoleon and Vaporeon, I would say, I'm fed. I love all rounders. So
Well, we're getting a lot of them. Okay. I wanted to play this video. I think this is the crazy thing about Delmize. I know we talked about, like, you were mentioning the hook, of course. This is her first character with a literal hook. See, it pulls Lucario with that move. Watch later. It pulls itself to Lucario with another. Yeah. It's like, got two hooks. You know,
it looks like Spider-Man from Marvel Rivals. He can pull them to you, or he can pull himself to them. It's exact. I'm like, that's sick.
That's pretty cool. I mean, they're like, okay, we get it. You all want a hook Pokemon. Fine.
Yeah, one hook guy we got. Yeah,
exactly. But anyway, okay, those are our three Pokemon coming. Empoleon coming on September 19th, which is crazy because in a couple days, which is September 4th, that's when Pawmot releases. So, yes. And don't worry, King Chris, I know that Gudra has a hook. I am on every one of those tweets.
What?
Where every single one where they're like, we need a hook Pokemon. I'm like, there's Gudra, there's Telekinesis Slowbro, there's Future Sight Mew 2X. We do have hook Pokemon. But anyway, well, I can rant about that later.
Yeah. You know what? I never really thought about it like that. Yeah,
but it's
right.
Not a literal hook.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
He's shaped like a hook. I think that's what the people wanted. You know.
Yeah. Tuba saying Gudra doesn't hook you from Timbuktu. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's like triple the range.
Well, perfect. We hit our first topic, which wasn't even on the docket. So let's jump into the next one. I even told you all, I was like, I'm going to remember something when we start the episode. But the fact that we didn't even talk about the new release is coming, we needed to discuss. But for those of you listening to the podcast and aren't sure where we're going with this, I did want to let everybody know just a bit of the timeline. So for you real big competitive fans, we are going to be talking about the Unite Championship Series for season, I guess, 5 upcoming, the 2026 season, near the end of the episode. First, we're going to talk about Groudon and all the new map changes now that we've actually seen them, as opposed to just a news article kind of posted about it, which is incredible. And then after that, we're going to talk about the new news about Mega Evolutions coming to Pokemon Unite, because we have concrete proof of which Pokemon are coming. Don't worry, everybody. I was wrong on kind of all counts when we did.
You really were.
I sort of couldn't be more wrong about all my predictions around Mega Pokemon. I was like, they're going to be their own unique licenses. It looks like that's likely not true. I'm like, there's no way they're going to put Charizard in that early. They're going to save it for an event. Immediately, one of the first ones added. So, my prediction game is not good. I'm having a tough couple of months. We'll try to right the ship going forward. But first, let's talk about Groudon. So first and foremost, Bridget, you and I have had the chance to talk about the fact how exciting a map change is to the game and everything on episodes prior. Nexus, I want to ask you, I know you've been playing this game a lot, 4,000 hours, you said. You've played since release 2, and so how are you feeling about finally a map change coming to the game?
So I'm here's my thing. I have two things, two really big things, right? For starters, I think it's great. I think Unite last year wasn't even like, I don't know what, it just wasn't real. You know what I mean? It felt like it was like the filler arc, you know, like we're in the training arc. Uh-huh. They're like, wait till China, we're chilling. And that they did. I think a new map is a new-ish map. I think it's great. I guess maybe because I've played a ton of other MOBAs before, like they don't really change maps in other MOBAs. Like League is like a 15-year-old game and it's still relatively the same map with some different wild area stuff or whatever it is. But I think this is good. I think it's huge. I think especially after Worlds, seeing Unite now, like day three, like where it's headed, like a lot more like mainstream folk are like watching it and they're seeing it. And it's just like even my friends who they all played, like we all played from beta to like, I think up until like when Thea first came out and then they tapped out. Cause I mean, you have to be, you gotta be a veteran to play against Mime and Mew. Like that was insane. You know,
oh, yeah, that one Mime Blake. Meta was, oh,
it was brutal
for sure.
It was brutal. But I think this is smart though, because I think it's a good way to get people back in the game. Like I think people are really underestimating that. Like I think some people, like maybe like a bubble of like really deep into Unite, but if you look at like I mean, shout out my 9 and 5s, man, like those guys especially, like I'm just like, it's time, you know what I mean? It's time. It's like we're locked in, you know what I mean? Like it's just like it's a lot more like, I don't want to say it's a new, it's like kind of like a new learning curve, but everyone is kind of on the same, unless you're looking at everything and you're staying up the entire day. You know what I mean? Like, exactly. Everyone's in the same spot. It's good. Shout out to Groudon. He got to the sky.
Right.
And we're not going to question it.
Yeah,
we're
won't. Yeah, we had a lot of theories about how that would happen too.
But you weren't really the innovator of Doinks. No one thought about how he was getting up there faster than you did.
You really got
the conversation started. You pioneered that.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it's not as cool as I wanted it to be, but that's okay. Maybe we'll get another map update. They'll be like, in year 6, Groudon now arrives in a cool way. That's all I'm hoping for. But Bridget, how about you? How are you feeling now that we finally got the chance to see some of the actual map changes coming to the game?
I am obviously stoked when I feel like it was like the article first came out with like the map and everyone was trying to like spot the difference between old map and new map. And at first, like, I just thought there was like one or two bush changes. And then like the longer everyone looked at it and like, you know, played the guess who guessing game, whatever. It's actually quite different, I would say. It's not like too much of, at least the bush changes, it's not like too much, but there's probably about like 5 to 7 like bush changes, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Which will be pretty impactful, especially in the Ray Pit, G Pit now, if you will. there's really not a lot of coverage on the bot side of the pit. Like the bot side of the pit felt like very strong, obviously. That's why we like prioritize that bot side goal zone. But now it's like very, very, very exposed. So it'll be interesting to see if like it's almost like a nerf to the bottom side of the pit, I guess. Yeah, but I think that is going to be super crazy. And also just less coverage in the jungle. I think it's around blue buff. Mm-hmm. I can't remember if it's blue or red buff. There's like a little bit less bush around there too.
Yeah.
It's going to be, I don't know, I think enough to turn the tide. But it was just cool seeing like that come out. And then obviously when all of the Japanese creators got access to the map and we actually got to see like gameplay on it. I mean, it and like everyone learning new timers, just like the progression of the community, like figuring everything out has been honestly so much fun, like over the past week to watch unfold. So
yeah, it's been a joy. Natus are back. Let's go, Natus.
That's two. That's true. That's two. Yeah, I'm so stoked for this new map. I think the tall grass changes are actually pretty gigantic, at least in the Groudon pit area. The other ones in lane, I don't think will, of course, be as impactful, but I think where they are going to be kind of relevant, it's just any kind of goal zone defense, right? Like usually the ones they remove are the ones really close to goal zone. So no longer are you going to be easily able to kind of hide, wait for someone to try to score and then ambush them. That's going to be a lot trickier to actually pull off now. So that's going to be interesting. Or I mean the opposite, right? You go there just for vision to see where they're rotating to, that kind of thing. ADCs in Groudon pit, getting a huge buff, I think. Like that seems crazy.
I kind of agree with that, but I saw so many people saying that like they're like worse or whatever it is. Yeah. I'm like, if there's more like, I guess it's just like less grass, they don't have to like poke. Right. Take a guess.
Well, and then of course, like people can't just get away from your auto attacks, right? Where they're like going invis or whatever it is.
Yeah, the vision.
Exactly. That'll be pretty interesting. I'm so psyched for obviously, and then there's like the mob changes right here. You can see in the video. We got Rengie Drago entering now, which is an interesting fight because it happens. I forget when it actually spawns, but it's right near the start of the game. At like 7:40. Because there's no more 8-minute birds. Now there's it is 8 minutes, right? Not 7:40. It already spawned it.
Yeah.
8 minutes, Rengie Drago, objective that does rotate like it does on the China mode. So it goes up and down. When you knock it out, then you get an individual score speed buff. Intriguing already. It's not team-wide, which is kind of interesting. But yeah, that's already kind of absurd.
But you do get a lot of XP. Like, I think it gives team-wide XP when it's KO'd as well.
Okay, gotcha. That would make sense. That's what basically
I don't think they... Yeah, I just don't think they said that in the notes, but I think some of the players playing it, you can see the Mammo gets like a bunch of levels one level, but, you know.
Yeah, almost a full level. Yeah, it does have EXP share too, but yeah, that is interesting. Okay, so Rengie Drago giving obviously team-wide EXP, and then of course a little bit of that score speed, but it just does add an extra team fight, which is relevant. The one thing it doesn't give, by the way, is like healing or a shield, which is kind of crazy, which the other Rengies give you like a ton, which will be another interesting factor. Also, we're going to see some Paimon stuff, which is cool. I am excited about this Pokemon, but...
I'm so ready. Oh, just like he's like a speedster. I'm like...
I know. And he heals so much.
Yeah.
Is absurd. That Pokemon's recovery is crazy. So, yes, there are a lot of map changes. I am most excited to just... Famous Guy Ruin dropping was probably one of my favorite times in the history of this game. Yes, watching sir. People yes, experiment, sir. Figure out little things. Like, the meta on day one will be so different than the meta on day three. Right? Like, it is going to be just so drastically different day by day, watching people figure out a new map, understand rotations. People are going to try everything, right? We're going to try invading. We're going to try split jungle. Like, what makes sense? What lanes do you prio? The objectives switch back and forth. So, do you chase an objective all of a sudden on this map? Do you just play your lanes? I don't know. It's going to be so fun, and I cannot wait. Yeah, this change in general, I just think it's fantastic. To all the people, like, there's a lot of naysayers out there, I know, saying just like, why didn't they reskin the entire map? Why is it still Theisky Ruins or whatever? I get it. We did see some people mentioning, I think Olamola was saying in our Twitch chat earlier on, like, a rotation between, like, Rayquaza, Kyogre, Groudon, potentially all as viable options. I think not reskinning the map entirely and just doing slight ones leans into that, potentially. We could see one day a map rotation, right? Like where maybe next year they add a Kyogre variant of this map. They change it again, but just only slightly. And then all of a sudden we have three maps that are similar, but different enough to really change things up. That being said, the wild Pokemon amount of experience and scoring thresholds, I think will likely stay similar because those are drastic changes to have map by map. So I think those will likely stay the same. But main end game objectives and reskinning could definitely still be a thing. So either way, very exciting stuff. I can't wait. Like, this is the most excited I've been to actually open the game in eons. I can't wait to get in the game and fight Groudon, lose, and then kill the other team and get it and then win. Like that is a gameplay experience that I'm gonna have a ton, I guarantee. we'll see.
I think it's gonna be so much fun. Like I think it's gonna be so much fun, and it's just I can't wait. I want to see the patch note. I think it's tonight or tomorrow, but I'm like, yeah, I want to see these patch notes. Ooh, you know,
like, yeah, do we think we get any like big Pokemon changes for patch notes?
I think we're gonna see Armourouge. We're gonna see Latios 3 Armourouge. It's gonna happen. Watch, it's gonna happen.
Armourouge, notably already a good mon, but that's fine.
Yeah, not really at all.
It's gonna get crazier.
If it's armor cannon buffs, I'm all for it. But oh yeah, okay.
True. Yes,
battle pass actually looks elite. By the way,
I like that Armourouge is Latina. Yes. I'm just gonna say it.
Yeah, I'm glad.
Mm-hmm. I like him. I wish it wasn't Scizor. Why do I feel like Scizor always gets skins? I don't know.
Greedy. He gets it all.
I don't like. Yeah, I just. I'm not about it.
From every content creator just hanging their heads because everyone's like, "Wow, I thought you were saying Latinas were here every time Latias is on their screen." And now, you know, it's like, "All right, fine." now we have our version in the mix.
Now they will be there.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you, Pokemon Unite, for adding that in. But okay, there's a lot to say about the map changes, but honestly, right now it's just a lot of anticipation. Next episode, we'll be talking a lot about how they actually have impacted our play experience. So that'll be exciting to talk about. However, we have more future things to talk about, and this actually comes from, I think, Nexus, you already mentioned it, the main Pokemon channel, which, wow, it has been many, many moons since the main Pokemon channel has whispered the words Pokemon Unite, and they said it pretty loudly here. Mega Evolutions, even more Mega Evolution Pokemon are coming to Pokemon Unite soon. Mega Lucario will join the fray on October 3rd, and Mega Charizard to follow on October 24th, which means in literally a day over a month, we will have Mega Lucario available in-game. Oh my word, that's hype. Mega Charizard up next. Bridget, I know you got something to say on like a theory on this. So we'll get to that in just a minute. But first, Nexus, which of these two are you more excited for? Mega Lucario, Mega Charizard X.
And lose, like, Lily Lucario drops 2 days before my actual birthday, so no. I'm lit off it already. You know what I mean? I'm lit off it already.
All right, you hear that, like, ranked teammates? Allow Nexus to lock in Lucario. It's his birthday.
See, because it's crazy. Because there's lore to this. Because I've always been a Charizard hater, but in terms of Unite,
Vaporeon and Charizard hater. I mean, bold. Bold.
Why did we have you?
but in Unite, I love Charizard and Unite. I'll say it. I like Charizard and Unite. Lucario at one point was like my most played mon like ever in the game. Like so I'm like, I have to choose Lucario. Plus, like, he just looks cooler, you know? But I'd be lying if I said watching a Charizard with blue fire all over his body and running into you wouldn't be the coolest thing ever. It's gonna be so sick.
Oh, I can't wait for him to pick me up and throw me in the air, and then like stun the, get mutual after he does that or something. You know?
Yeah. Oh my god.
That's what I'm expecting.
It's gonna be terrifying. Of these two, I am more excited for Mega Lucario as well, I would say. I don't mind playing Charizard in Pokemon. I wouldn't say he's my favorite all-rounder, but that might just be like the burden of choice because there's so many all-rounders to pick from. But still, Lucario is just one of my favorites. Having the ability to Mega Evolve this Pokemon, not for nothing. I think Mega Lucario also has one of the best Mega Evolutions. I just think it's really, really good. Excited about that one. The only other thing outstanding is we still don't exactly know how all Mega Evolutions are going to work. We do know how Mega Mewtwo will work, in which it will have to hold a Mega Stone of Mutonium X or Y or whatever. And like Zacian, or I guess just Zacian, right? It'll be a mandatory held item for those two Pokemon. Now, I think the high chance is that these Pokemon will also work that way, but there's a non-zero chance that you could equip Lucarium Z and change its moves and Mega Evolve slightly differently, or you don't. So we'll see. That's could be its own license that has that Mega Stone locked in as well. I don't know how likely that it may be. Who knows? But anyway, Bridget, where are you aligned on how it will actually show up? And then tell me a little bit about your theory on these other two.
Okay, stay with me.
I added a Z move. That's my bad.
Z moves yet. No Z moves in game yet. That'll be next, surely. So I am in the camp. I do feel like, so obviously Mewtwo sets a precedent, but we don't have normal Mewtwo in the game. Correct. So not quite a precedent, but they will be getting the permanent items. And I do feel like all the Megas will have that permanent whatever item that they need to Mega Evolve. But I'm kind of in the camp that I want them to be new licenses because I almost want them to get, like, facelifts. I think on the Japanese post, they did say, like, if you, like, you can't play normal Lucario if someone's playing, like, Mega Lucario. So I think that is why people are like, oh, you just have to like equip the item. But I'm kind of coping and want them to be new licenses just because I kind of want them to get like full refreshes. And I don't, maybe they still will get that if it's just like an item equipped situation. Anyway, I digress. I want them to be new licenses. And my conspiracy theory I've been spreading around is
I think
based off of like the background colors is what class of Pokemon these are, because they all go like they all fit into like the in-game like license themes. So like red is attacker, which is behind Lucario, and then purple is behind Charizard, so all-rounder. Then the other two look like green and blue, so defender and speedster are my predictions. And I don't know if Mega Luca is like a special attacker, but I mean, it doesn't even need to be, like it could be.
Could be a physical attacker range.
Like, yeah. Range.
You give it Focus Blast and figure the rest out from there.
Exactly. So a lot of people do not. Yeah. A lot of people are really disagreeing with me on the Lucario, but
right. No, that is true. It did have. You could play it both ways. Remember, Nexus is right. Yeah.
Okay. He's mixed. He's a great mixed attacker. So they can go either way. They can go either way.
That'd be fun. Yeah.
That's all I need to hear.
Okay. What moves would you give if it was attack? You Focus Blast. What's the steel move that it mirror shot. I don't know. Doesn't Metagross have it? I forget. Oh, well.
I don't know if steel moves.
There's surely some range steel moves that Lucario could look. Flash cannon.
Yeah. There's Steel Beam as well, too. Shout out Steel Beam.
Okay. You know? Yeah. Some new age. Okay.
Shout out Steel Beam. Fair. You know, got some new one.
Okay. So if that's the, let's go with that theory just for a moment, which means that we have a Defender Mega Pokemon coming in and a Speedster Mega Pokemon coming in. Let's each give our quick two predictions on what these two little cameo spots right now could be. So Defender option and Speedster option. If we're doing Defender, I am pretty sure we're getting Mega Slowbro. I think that would make a lot of sense. I'm trying to think of any other. I guess you could do Blastoise, but would you as a Defender? I don't know. I would do Mega Slowbro, and then if it's a Speedster, I mean, I really want it to be Mega Gengar, but I do think Mega Absol would also do pretty well, especially because it's kind of featured in the new Legends ZA game, like at the play experience there at Worlds. It was like one of the first Pokemon that you could use, or sorry, that you fought against, like kind of sort of a boss battle. So it'll be a little bit after Legends ZA release, but still could be relevant. Okay, so those are my two, Mega Slowbro and Mega Absol. How about you, Bridget? What are you thinking?
I kind of want one of them to be Dragonite because he does feel like the poster boy of ZA. I would love to see it personally. And
would you put that as the Defender slot or the Speedster slot?
I don't know. I don't know what its stats look like.
It could
speedster
be
Speedster would be kind of funny.
It learns extreme speed.
Be kind of funny.
Done.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
He go fast with his little Hermes ears, wings. And then another like wild card one, I guess, and this goes into my theory where I don't want them to be existing licenses because I want like new Pokemon. I would love to get one of the starters from ZA that is most likely going to get a Mega Evolution.
Okay.
So obviously that's a broad answer, but no. I just really would like any of those starters, to be honest, in the game.
I like. Do you have a pick out of any of those three?
Chikorita.
Okay.
Obviously.
Yeah.
She's got to. Girl.
A green background, and then I know a lot of people were theorizing Fairy Evolution, and it's like the pink splash. I don't know. Ooh. It could be. It could
that
be.
That would be cute, actually.
Yeah. Imagine they add a new Pokemon and it already has a Mega. I mean, I guess they already did with Mewtwo. So what am I talking about? Either way.
I know. And I'm like so blown. I'm like, I can't wait for Megas. I'm like, the Mewtwo's or whatever. Those are old news.
Exactly. Get them out of here. man, A lot of exciting stuff with these Mega Evolutions. I can't wait. But Nexus, how about you? If we, if you had to pick a Mega Defender and a Mega Speedster to get added to the game, or your picks for what you think they would be, what would you pick?
So Defender's pretty easy. I know Slowbro is like the Defender in Unite, but everyone plays Blastoise. Like, okay. I'm trying to look at it in
Snorlax,
a sense of like,
is just standing over there like me here.
He's just over there. He's just over there. Okay. He's over there. Because I'm trying to look at this as in like, hey, my name is Jared. My first time playing Unite, you know, like he's gonna look at Blastoise. He's gonna be like, all right, I'm playing Blastoise. If he plays Umbreon, God forbid you, Jared. But he's playing Blastoise, you know what I'm saying? Right. So I feel like Blastoise just kind of reeks it. And plus, like, he got, you know, he's Blastoise is a range attacker. I think he's ranged in this game too. I've never actually read his thing, but I'm pretty sure he's ranged in this game. I mean, he shoots water, right? Like, he don't punch people. He could. I don't know, but I think Blastoise, he kind of, right? Like, he's Yeah. Speedster, now this is hard because these are my babies. This is what makes this complicated. My truth-seeking orb wants Absol. I think it's easy. Okay. I think it's safe. The mon's already good. But my heart wants Gengar because Gengar sucks. Oh. And I'm just like, he needs this. And plus, like, I'm going to drop some lore, dude. In freaking Pokken, all the animations are there, dude. So when this guy was in Japanese, when they were only in Japan, when they did the arcade version of Pokken, Gengar was the most, even staying, go to Fly Japan right now and go play the arcades. Gengar, the most broken thing ever to touch that game, dude. He just eats you in a void. I'm just like, he's so cool. Right. And he's like, his arms spin, and he's got his hair, and he's white. I don't know. I want Gengar. Oh,
shiny.
I want Gengar.
Yeah, shiny Mega Gengar. Gengar. Yeah. Okay. We're going all in. We're going all in.
Yeah. That'd be sick. I want those two.
I think it's a great option, especially if we're like looking down the lens of giving facelifts to existing Pokemon. I think Gengar is right up there for a great candidate to pick out. So yeah, I think that's a really good option.
Me likes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, is there anything we didn't touch on with the Mega Evolution teaser? Oh, yeah, there is. Nexus, you talked about it, actually. Pokemon announced that these two Megas are coming out October 3rd and October 24th. So, two Mega licenses in the same month. I mean, Pokemon really liking their Megas right now. However, to go even further onto that, Nexus, you were telling me the Charizard X-themed TCG set is literally coming out October 24th as well.
Yes, it is coming out around that same time. They said like early November, but I mean, it's around like late October.
Okay.
It's around, right around the same time. Mm-hmm. Which is huge. And then it's funny enough to even talk about it. The Lucario and Gardevoir Mega Evolution set that's coming out September 26th. That is quite literally a week before, not even quite literally. It literally is 7 accurate human days before the 3rd of October. Like, that's just, and then it's juicy because in between that we have ZA. Boom. And then after ZA, we have Charizard X. They know what they're doing. I see you, Timmy. Like,
for the first time ever, we're crushing. Let's go.
Crushing it. We're lined in. I like this a lot. I like this.
Pokemon Unite collabing with Pokemon for the first time, what feels like it's forever.
Yeah.
Some exciting stuff. We have knowledge of 4 Pokemon coming to the game, as well as 2 new Mega Evolutions. Unite. So that's 6 upcoming releases. We have never known about 6 upcoming releases into the game. This is crazy. I know Relic mentioned it in our chat a little bit earlier on, but content is like kind of getting some energy too. I saw out there, Teeds posted a Pokemon Unite video for the first time in forever, which was very funny because she kind of posted a video just sort of talking about what's going on these days, and the whole time she's like, not a lot's changed in Unite. All of the comments were just like, wow, 3 days early, Teets. every single one, which was very, very funny. So, so cool to see Teets coming back, which is very fun. Teets are going to be pumped. There's a lot of new things coming to the game. Don't worry about that. And then Spraggle's posting a video about it today, too, just saying basically, like, what happened? And now we have so much more information. So for those of you who were needing a dose of Hopium, I hope this week's news cycle gave it to you, because we got a whole lot and we have some incredible releases up and coming. So this is going to be wild. I think it feels like a little bit of like, it feels celebration. It also feels like, we did it, you know? Those of us who made it, we survived.
we're
going to come out on the other side. So with that in mind, for those of you out there, just, you know, we're going to have some new players out there. You know, be kind. Be willing to not thanksping them, you know? Let's bring in these new people. Well, let's encourage. Let's have some fun.
That thanksing, that's, yeah, they got to just get indoctrinated. That's going to happen.
Okay, no, great. Okay, two schools of thought here on the podcast.
Maybe a little both. Balance.
We can trial by fire. That's fine, too. I understand.
So, like, you saying how many mons we have in the tank? We have a lot of report cards we're going to have, so many.
We're behind on one. We got to nail that one. We'll
make
that.
We have a lot of grading to do.
Yeah, that is true. To find that Photoshop file. But yeah, okay. Okay. I haven't lost it. Don't worry. I know where exactly where it is. Just don't have it with me right now. Okay. So
period.
That is all the new releases and exciting stuff happening in the game very shortly. The other big point of news that we wanted to talk about is the Unite Championship Series, which is changing in a major way. Let's make sure. Mic's still on. Okay, we're good. Y'all can still hear me?
Yes.
Cool. I hit my cord. I always think it's going to mute me. Okay, we're still here. So, it feels like we never have a season without giant sweeping changes to the entire competitive circuit. This year is no different. We've talked about it a few times already on these episodes with the regional leagues and things like that. We now have the official rulebook, full confirmation on ICs, regional leagues, world championship qualifier, and more. So this is the point of the episode where we start to get nerdy, folks. This is where it's your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. So let's jump into it. Let's start here. First and foremost, Pokemon Unite Esports tweeting out, get ready for the EU, NA, and LA regional leagues. Check the image for basics, how they'll work. This is a basic breakdown. So I'll just read what they put together in the basic breakdown. Three new regional leagues in 2026. EU's regional league, NA, and Latin America. 8 teams per regional league, with 3 teams in each qualified league via an open qualifier tournament before it begins. League open qualifiers to occur in December. So that'll be after LAIC. The top 3 teams from EU and NA's open qualifiers qualify for respective regional leagues. Top team from each, Brazil, Latin America North, and Latin America South, will qualify for the Latin America Regional League. So one team out of each of those will qualify together. Wow. Which, yeah, I mean, they're putting Brazil, Latin America North, and Latin America South into one big league, but they are going to have the open qualifier be an individual region-based tournament. Then, regional league play through the regular season and playoffs, ending with the regional finals in April. Yes, they called the league finals regional finals for some wild reason, but don't worry, regionals are now named LCQs. Teams not qualified to Worlds after regional finals can compete in last chance qualifiers, LCQs, hosted in Brazil, EU, Latin America North, Latin America South, North America, and OC regions in May. For those of you keeping track at home, that is regional finals as they were this year. However, there will be no advanced seeding as it was, because there'll be no championship points earned throughout the season, because we are now in a regional league format. Okay, quick thoughts on the breakdown. Bridget, how you feeling about on some of these changes?
I am still overall excited for the leagues, but I am a bit disappointed at the relegation, I guess, of it all. I don't exactly know how else I would have done it, but I guess I wish we would have had more, like, tournaments to, like, bump people up and down, I guess. Like,
right.
Maybe, like, once a month. I don't know, just to, like...
Mm-hmm.
Keep similar energy, but I guess that's, like, you know, a lot more work. I guess we don't know how often the leagues are going to be, like, playing each other necessarily, like, once a month, whatever.
Well, we do know that. I can pull that up, too.
Thank you.
This comes from champions.pokemon.com, which is another website that we got to add to the repertoire to get our information from.
Yeah.
The rule books are truly just a maze of hyperlinks for me, prepping for these podcasts.
And then sometimes it's hyperlinked to the old
Yeah.
One from last year. And that is true. Really fun.
You cannot fall into those pitfalls. They are terrifying. But yeah. Okay, here we are. So we have the open qualifiers happening in December 13th through 14th. Then the first week of the regional leagues will happen about a month later, in January 17th. Then 2 weeks later, the second week will happen. And so on and so forth. It's basically a two-week break between each of the regional leagues, with a bit of a difference to make room for AOS Cup, which will be happening at EUIC. Okay. So weeks 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. So it'll be 6 weeks of regional leagues. And I believe in the rule book, which I also have up, and I have a few specific things to call out. They are a double round robin. So I believe the hope is for the teams to play each other team twice is the game.
Oh, wow.
So I assume every week you will have two games of competition, not against the same team, but that is likely what is going to happen. Yeah. Gamma's in our chat. Gamma did a lot of work on this rule book, so I can already guarantee we know some more. 56 matches in total. That is how many matches will be played in the regional league, not per team. But yeah. So if you divide 56 by 8, we can get to the number, which I don't know what that is.
I cannot do that math. I'm so sorry.
Oh, well. So anyway.
I guess we'll never know.
That is the regional leagues. Yeah.
Seven.
Ripto, we'll be explaining them a little bit more. But okay. So that is the competition. That is a lot of competition. I think, however, it does only boil down to 6 weeks. So yeah, 14 games. Interesting. Oh, including playoffs? I'm not sure. Okay, whatever. I can't go back and forth. I got to finish this episode.
It's too much.
Okay, so anyway, all that to say, the tournament will still begin at the season will still begin at LAIC with November 21st happening there. And then, of course, AOS Cup will happen in February 13th through 15th. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. And then NAIC happening in June. And, of course, Worlds happening pretty late this year, which is interesting. August 28th through 30th.
Oh, my God, is that the end of August?
Yeah, it's really strange. Worlds is a lot later this year, which is curious. By the way, if you want to buy tickets for that event, the end of this month is when those go on sale. And you want to jump on the Pidgey price, the early bird price, as they call it. Probably. I was talking about this on a different podcast, by the way. Maybe I can find it. I should just look it up.
Okay.
I'll do that.
Just the podcast guy, I guess.
Yeah, just a bit of a producer, host, all of the mix. Okay, Bridget, now that you have seen some of the schedule, any changes on your opinions of the league as you see it?
I just wish, I am a bit worried about the teams that are not participating in the league. I obviously, NA had a relatively big, like, grassroots scene around UCS, I feel like. And now that we don't have that kind of monthly tournament that the teams are, like, working towards, it is a bit of a bummer, but I hope that the grassroots scenes like step up to fill those voids and stuff. And I do think like here in NA, we have a lot of like good stuff going. So I think that will keep the momentum going for these teams, but it is kind of like a bit of a bummer.
Yeah. Totally.
And I mean, I am excited for the teams in the league, but I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it is. Like handle, like I would imagine the players are taking it seriously, but it's so long that it'll be interesting, I guess.
I have another thing on its length that we'll talk about in a little bit.
Okay.
Which not a positive or a negative, technically. It's another change that's happening this time around. But I'm in a similar opinion of you, and I think last time we talked about when this league was announced, I said I think it hinges all on the relegation. The success or failure of this league, and we just don't have it. We don't have relegation, kind of. We sort of have relegation year over year, which is interesting. They did mention the top three teams from every regional playoff will qualify for next year's league. So that's kind of exciting for players who are like trying to play. Or sorry, thank you, Dextro. Top five. I'm thinking of the LCQs or the open qualifiers. Top three. Top five qualify for next year's league. So if you perform well at the end of the year in the playoffs, you got a spot in next year's league already, which is pretty impressive. which is interesting. Okay. Also, little side tangent. I shouldn't be doing side tangents, but I already mentioned it and I brought it up. So, Pokemon XP, this is AKA, this is World Championships for next year. Registration opens in 14 days. So,
oh my God.
Look alive, folks. This is the pricing. Got more expensive. Okay. But I went over this on another show, but let me get into this. Multi-day pass. This is for the Worlds event, blah, blah, blah. This is for Friday and Saturday. This pass gets you. If you get the early bird pricing, aka the Pidgey pricing, it's 120. The standard pricing is 150. Who knows how, they have no information about how long the early bird price is around or if it's limited. So who knows? Multi-day and arena experience pass is 150 for early bird, 180 for standard. So this is if you want to be there on Championship Sunday in the event, or sorry, in the arena. There will still be things to do on Championship Sunday at the main Worlds venue, but the Chase Center will be an exclusive ticket to get into.
Okay, but there's still
lots of things to do, and there will be viewing areas to watch the finals and everything at the normal venue. I guarantee it. But this is just that. I mean, and listen, you want to see Unite in an arena? I guarantee.
Highly recommend.
The only other thing they do mention this, I forget. I don't know if it's on this page or another one. They do say competitors who qualify to the World Championships, you will get your ticket price reimbursed. And guests of competitors will also get reimbursed. So just as a heads up. So yeah, I would just recommend anybody, if you got the cash on hand and you're really interested about the event, I would consider picking up the ticket, even if you are a competitor. So just something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be fun. Okay. Back to the regional leagues. Yeah, they are interesting. I like that 6 weeks of competition is great. I do think every 2 weeks is probably better than every single week. I think I have a hunch that is maybe why we don't have relegation. That, I mean, doing every 2 weeks with a EOS Cup kind of separating some of those weeks as well in the middle of it, like, it'd be tough to fit two entire splits in the season. They'd have to start earlier. So that either means the off season is shorter, which I know a lot of players would not like. A lot of players appreciate the off season. I don't know. It feels like there's no easy way to solve this, which is tough. I guess the easier way to solve it is be not doing the league format. But the league format does bring some positives. So I don't know. Anyway, that's just the basics. I want to get into a few specifics. But first, Nexus, I want your overall thoughts on a huge change. Basically, like, we're going League of Legends franchise league style
this next year. That.
Yeah, how are you feeling about that.
I think that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of that's huge. I mean, there's so many mobile players alone that are going to see that and be like, oh, I understand it now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's I think it's massive. I think it's good for new players. I think it's good for current players.
Something to watch.
Mm-hmm. It's overall good. It's overall fantastic.
Okay.
I'm for it.
All right. We got a lot of positive vibes coming on Nexus for it. I like that. You brought up a lot of good points. It's good to watch. It's new players can look to something. Another thing that I do want to point out about these changes and everything, it's not one for one, but this is basically Asia's format, right? Like, they have Asia Champions League, and that's their format they have to play in, which only a few teams get to be involved in Asia Champions League, and then they have one tournament to define who goes to Worlds. They have an open qualifier tournament. That is literally how it works in Asia currently, so we are... I mean, I guess you could consider that a positive, that we're mirroring their format. The end of the day, I'm of the opinion I wish we had more tournaments available in an official capacity. I understand grassroots are great, and they can probably get better with this. I think a huge bonus is if, top esports teams get involved with this league, which very strong opinion that they will, with a actual franchise format, that maybe there could be some kind of involvement there, maybe some prize stuff. You know, that's been one thing that's always been kind of lacking from Pokemon Unite is, prize pools. So that would be really cool. We'll see. But anyway, I think I am still positive on it. It's just, I said this before, I think this hurts North America kind of the hardest, just because we are the one region outside of Japan that had a ton of signups for every single monthly.
That is true. That is true.
And I guess let's light a lamp for OC, who is now down to one single tournament for the entire year, as they have no regional league, no open qualifier, and OCIC does not exist anymore. So Dang, that, I mean, it's tough. That one hurts. I do feel really bad for OC.
It's tragic.
I really hope that they can try to make the trip out to like UIC, potentially, like get some teams to come and sign up for these events. But let's talk about some, Gamma, you're not allowed to say it is what it is. Okay, let's talk.
You are what it is.
Let's talk about some of the specifics that I wanted to get into about the leagues, because there are some interesting things that we didn't know about previously, and we now know about in the rulebook. And I guarantee there's things I missed. This was just a cursory glance that I took a look at. So now we had the nerdy part of the podcast. Now we're getting into the real. This is where I point out things in a rulebook. So follow me along, minutia. Audio listeners, to Rule 3.1.5 Playoffs.
Oh my god.
Okay, so first off, we have tiebreakers, which I always think are fun to look at. Actually, one of my favorite, I didn't have this pointed out. I will go back to it eventually. The sixth and final tiebreaker, which we will never get to in a tournament, because the fifth tiebreaker is a best of one round robin to define, and that literally can't be like another tie. So I guess if it's three teams, it could be. The final tiebreaker is average points scored on the tournament. And I think that's awesome. I love insane out there tiebreaker rules. It's one of my favorite things in like football and stuff. So I am pumped that it exists here. Okay. Anyways, this was something I thought was interesting. So at the end of a regional league split, so after the 6 weeks of competition, the teams are then seeded. Playoff matches are played to determine the region's top ranking teams of the season. The top five teams from the split are seeded based on their match record. So only the top five. Three teams do not make it into the playoffs, with higher seeds earning more round buys. Matches are played in a single elimination best of five format, which just so everyone is clear, that is not uncommon to see in a lot of esports leagues. If you are going to play a league format into a playoff, often that will be single elimination. I mean, look at sports. Anyway, like any Western sport plays out this way, right? So anyway, match one will be fourth seed versus fifth seed. So essentially a play-in to make it to the bracket. The second and third seed teams will have a one round bye, and then first seed will start in finals. If you are first on the league, all you have to do is win one match to qualify, to win the entire league. Which is also sick, because the top two teams out of every regional league qualify for Worlds. Therefore, if you were the first seed in the regional league, you qualify for Worlds, which I think is awesome. It rewards regular season performance, which is really, really awesome. Yeah, Gavin's saying it in chat right now. I think that's great. That is one thing that a lot of people were upset that didn't exist this year, was that everything came down to the regional qualifier. Now, it technically does. However, first seed is going to start with the Worlds in Fight, which is awesome. And yeah, Thistlechar actually saying that this is how it did work in Japan this year as well, that seeding format, which I think is all. They had double elimination, though, so they started in winner's finals. But they still were qualified for Worlds. But yeah.
Yeah, because they had a top three, mm-hmm. I guess, in Japan. Anyway.
So.
Yeah, that's sick. Mm-hmm. It kind of reminds me of like India's ACL finals this past year, where I think it was.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember which team it was, like Godlike or Revenant or someone, like just went on a tear.
Right.
And starts, it's like fourth or fifth seed, and then goes on to like beat everyone. Mm-hmm. I think they even had more people in there.
Well, yeah, like, theirs was like a little more ruthless. Yeah, like that. Yeah, that one's ruthless. Like, because you eighth seed has to play seventh seed, and then the winner of that plays sixth seed, the winner of that plays fifth seed, so and so on and so on. So it's literally just like a ladder, which is terrifying. And then they did the impossible, which was insane. Shout outs to them.
It seemed tight. Yeah. So I'm with this. And yeah, my worry earlier about teams maybe not taking like the league like seriously, it's over such a long period of time. I do feel like, yeah, the reward for consistency and showing up and doing good in a lot of different metas, like I would imagine that we'll see like throughout this league. I think it's cool that it is being like rewarded, doing well like consistently. Mm-hmm. It feels like this is what Championship Points tried to be at first.
Yeah.
Before they just were like, never mind.
Right. Because they couldn't. Yeah. There's too much like player swap things that just, yeah, made it not work as a team based game, which is, yeah, mm-hmm. I get it. Okay. Next is how you feeling about a playoff format.
I think that's fire. I mean, I think the way that they're doing it is going to be so stupid hype, especially like if like the teams that are in that are the teams that like some people at home are rooting for. That's going to be liquefied, bona fide hype. It's going to be insane.
Gamma just told me in chat, by the way, that the last tiebreaker is a lie, and now I'm livid. It has to be points scored. That's way too fun. Okay, let's move on to my next little tidbit that we have. A top team from each of these. Yeah, that's just to talk about the open qualifiers. That was kind of already mentioned in our brief overview. The LCQs we could talk about quickly. These are basically like how regionals worked last year. Every team, you just get entered into a big open double elimination bracket that's played over two days. It might be two weekends, but where you play all your games and then it's a continued double elimination bracket into the day two. But yeah, it is. Okay, Gamma, good clarifier. It's basically regionals, but without the group stage, because there'd be no way to seed a group stage because there's, yeah, so just one big double elimination bracket. Okay, cool. Next thing I was interested in, also, Ella, this is just some prizes for the tournaments. LAIC, an invitational event to be announced. Wonder what that one is. Could it be the one from last year? Probably. We don't technically know, but probably. EYC, AOS Cup will still award a world spot. NAIC will still award a world spot, which is awesome. Okay, this is the qualification methods. This is what I wanted to look at. Because for one of the first times ever, I was looking at this graph and I was like, hey, that asterisk that's on the screen is actually so important because it's beside every single team, because this year every team gets a travel award who's going to Worlds.
No, that's cracked.
Which
that's
is
cracked.
So good. This is going to help some of the Latin America teams so much. And I mean, OC for crying out loud, they're coming from across the world. Like,
Jesus.
Like, that is ridiculous. So, major, major W that this is happening. I'm pumped about this. Other than that, I don't think there's too many things to point out on this graphic other than each of the regional leagues qualify two teams, and then there's the LCQ for each region. Brazil will have two teams out of their qualifiers, so will Latin America North. Latin America South will still have just one team. Those are pretty similar world slots as they were last year. It's not too big of a change. Then, of course, OC is still having their LCQ for their one team. And then the TPC regions just will be announced separately. That's their own thing. So who knows? Fun fact, number of slots is same as 2025, considering total slots for Latin America. Yeah, it's true. It's just now with the Latin America Regional League, it's going to be really fun to see like Brazil, Latin America, North and South try to like steal slots from each other. You know, like imagine like the top two out of that league are like Brazil. And it's like, oh my word, like four Brazil teams at Worlds. We'll see though. I mean, our current world champion is from Latin America South, so we'll see.
So cracked. I can't get over the travel awards. I'm like, now people can actually like,
I know
there's so many people that don't want to play off the weight of, well, I still got to spend a lot of money to get there. I'm like, yeah, you're good.
Exactly. It's going to be so here. So I am pumped about that. Okay. Then, regionals versus LCQ. Yeah. I think we already, oh yeah, I already talked about how they changed the names between the regionals and the LCQ, which I think is ridiculous, but whatever. Last thing I wanted to talk about, because this was a big point of contention last year, or not a big point of contention, a big change from last year. I scroll a lot. I should have just tagged these pages or something. Okay. A lot about equipment. Okay. Roster locking. After registration closes for an event, roster locking will be in effect. While roster locking is in effect, roster change, blah, 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 blah. Roster locking will be in effect for teams that qualify for the following events. Regional leagues are included in this. You are roster locked for the entirety of the season, essentially.
Oh, wow.
You will not be able to make roster changes outside of event administration giving you the allowance to do so, which is interesting. Like, I mean, this is...
Oh, God.
Yeah, Relic's like, thank goodness. Yeah, I mean, as a caster, it will help for sure. And as people trying to follow the league, it will help. It's just, this is very new to our format of tournament. And I got to admit, at our level of esport, kind of unheard of. You know,
that's what I'm worried about. Like locking in your team in like November, December, like.
Yep.
What happens if something like
So crazy happens. Of course, there are emergency roster changes, right? A competitor is ill, unable to travel, things like that. Things can change, and they likely will. You know, like, I'm sure there's going to be an experience where something needs to shift up. However, yeah, Relic mentioned it. Having a good sub on your team is going to be important. There are some things, interesting things about the alternate rules, like for your subs. Subs can switch in and out during the tournament, but they have to be in there for a full match. That was the rule last year, but still the rule this year as well. So interesting, you know, I've always thought that'd be kind of fun. Like if you're going up against a team and they're like, oh, they suck against Lucario. We're going to bring in our Lucario one trick just for this match and then try to go in. That'd be kind of fun. But okay, those were the big rule changes out of the rule book that I kind of pointed out. I mean, the Travel Lords going to all teams, all of the regional league rules are kind of now out there, which is pretty interesting. And then how playoffs are working and how world slots are working. So yeah, G4 invitations, real ones, remember. Real ones, remember. That was OG's debut, kind of a little bit. Anyway, crazy timeline that we're heading into. I mean, Unite, they're updating the game. They're attempting to be a full-on tier one esport, at least a tier one esport light, potentially. It's an interesting year we're about to be going into. Last thing I was thinking about, you know what? Let's bring it up. I'm sorry. One more nerdy thing that I wanted to bring up. Prize pools.
Oh, yeah.
Because these have changed a little bit. EUIC and NEIC, the prize pool for the tournaments have stayed the same. The allocation is just a little bit different, which I find interesting. Previously, so the prize pool in total is $50,000. So it stayed the same. Still pretty light. Not a huge fan of that. Wish we'd go up. First place now gets $16,000. And fifth through eighth and third through fourth get a bit of a buff. So like the $4,000 that was is taken out of the first team's pocket and put into the third and fourth and fifth through eighth teams. Sure, whatever. I don't care too much. I don't think there was any changes to LAIC. That's still only a $25,000 prize pool. Jay Diski also mentioning in our chat, this is a good point. There's no play-in tournaments on the schedule. There's nothing in the rule books about travel awards for EUIC and NAIC. So very likely there will be no travel awards. There is clauses in the Unite handbook about invited teams potentially. So there is a world where like maybe we get Japanese teams invited out to EUIC or something like that, or NEIC, who knows? I know those were pretty successful in the past. We didn't see them last year. They tried to get China there, but didn't. So I don't know. There are chances of that, but yeah, it looks like there will be no regional, no travel awards for those events. So bit of a bummer there. Maybe they'll start turning a little bit more into like more local events. However, they still afford a world spot. So I think that should be a pretty solid incentive for a lot of these teams to show up to events. So I'm hoping so. So yeah. Okay. I've ranted a lot about league rules and things like that. Nexus, any thoughts on the Unite Championship Series for 2026 as a whole after we went through all of that?
I think my three takeaways is, number one, I love the nerd yapping. I feel like I just learned so much.
Okay,
like,
perfect. Thank you. That's this show.
I think the travel award thing, I just really can't get over that. I'm like, that's nuts. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just... like you actually get, like, not only do you get the pot prize, but you also get the travel awards too. It's like, mm-hmm. you really feel the winning, you really feel when you win, you know, you'll feel it. That's true. I'm like, wow. Like, imagine someone was a greedent manifesting, someone was a greedent and they also get travel awards. Green's going to San Francisco. Look out. Mm-hmm. Look out. That's crazy. I'm excited. I think it's all really good. Okay. It does kind of suck though for OCE. I feel like they're pretty, underrated. I know, you know, they're the underdogs, but I don't know, dude. Crazy stuff happens in Australia. You don't know how crazy they are in Unite. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's
I feel like something. Okay, well,
hey, they got some fun stuff. They do have some fun stuff for
they
sure.
They showed up at NAIC, so
that's true. That was huge.
Don't sleep. Yeah, Don't sleep.
All right, how about you, Bridget?
I am overall excited. I think what I am most excited for right now is, like, I mean, we still have a while for this, but like the announcement of like who's playing in the league, like what what, if any, orgs are getting involved. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that is what's going to maybe hype me up more
for, sure.
Mm-hmm. for these leagues. I am, another like critique I have is, although I kind of love in theory the idea of like LATAM, North, South, Brazil all being in one league, the ping of it all, I'm a little like kind of bummed about, I guess. So I kind of wish LATAM North was in NA. I feel like that's a lot easier of a ping differential than like South or Brazil even, but I don't know, maybe it won't be as bad as I feel like it might be for the player's sake, because honestly all those regions are really amazing and I want them all to be able to like shine mm-hmm. in this format. So we'll see how that one goes, but overall I am excited to see the involvement and also just how Grassroots kind of adapts to it all. So we'll see, but I am excited. They are never afraid to try something new.
Mm-hmm. That is true. Yeah, it is going to be brand new. I think I agree with you. I think at the moment, leagues and everything are daunting. It feels like we're losing a lot with these. I need to learn the things I'm gaining, you know? I need to see
The
teams. The one thing I did say about this that did excite me, I was like, weirdly, I'm stoked for Roster Mania this year. I genuinely am. I never have been. I can't wait to see who's teaming together this year. I think that's going to be really fun. I never have really been like anticipating it like I have now, but like, let's see, like, do the Juicers stick together? I'm saying that because Kratos is here too, but like, do the Juicers stick together? Is there new rosters forming? Like, what region does Toon move to? Who knows? There's so much to really unpack in this next one. So I think this is going to be a very, very fun year. It was mentioned a couple times before, Grassroots are there to try to encourage the general audience to play competitively and to have have tournament experiences. Not only do I think they have the opportunity to step up, I'm going to say it, I think they kind of have to. Like, I don't know. I think this is a big moment. This could be, I don't know, not make or break for the competitive scene, but it could hurt for a while if we don't. So
yeah,
I think it's a lot to look forward to, but there's like a lot of work to be done too, you know? So anyway, wow, what an episode. We talked Groudon, new map, 4 new Pokemon, 2 new Mega licenses. We talked about even more licenses potentially. Who knows? There was a lot discussed, but I think that finally brings us to the end of our episode. Before we get out of here, though, Nexus, stage is yours. Do you want to sell out, shout out, plug, whatever you'd like?
Oh, this is hard to do. Okay.
You can do it.
Okay, you're a YouTuber. It's your whole thing. Yeah.
I'm not really a plugger, you know what I'm saying? But let me get the plug going on. So I stream. I do a lot of competitive Pokemon. I'm pretty crazy at that. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm kind of crazy at it.
Okay.
I stream a lot of Unite. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Some might call me the NA heroes, but you know, that's neither here nor there.
Okay.
That's neither here nor there.
Okay.
So I stream a lot of that. I'm very sweaty when it comes to Pokemon. If you need a guy that knows every weird thing about Pokemon, I'm your guy. I got you. So that's kind of what I do. You can follow me on socials at NumNexus, relatively everywhere, unless someone's typed my name, but relatively everywhere. I got that, you know? So we're, that's what I do. Mazumarill is my guy and he's in Unite. So just know that, you know, just look out for that. You know?
Perfect.
Good job. Look out for Azumarill.
Yeah, we'll be looking out for Azumarill.
Yeah. The bottom of the damage board. All right. How about you, Bridget? Yeah. Anything to shout out?
That was hateful.
That's my hot take. I've always been the Azumarill hater.
Dang. This is drama. We can't get into this on the podcast, but
please.
I don't really have too much. I am just freaking excited for Groudon, and we'll be in everyone's chat rooms when it's happening all weekend long. So,
let's go.
Oh, yeah,
I'm just you know, get in there and play some Groudon games, everyone.
Steal them buffs.
Yeah.
Okay, my plug, this is the easiest one of all time because I actually had it pre-planned before this event. There is a second Pokemon Unite podcast out there. Yes, I know, it happened. It's bizarre that it happened, but it did. Go check it out. It's made by some absolute ghosts from the community. Relic and company have started one called The Experience Share. I say and company because there was a lot of people on the show, and Relic, I don't know if everyone is a full-time guest or a part-time guest. So anyway, it's called The Experience Share. Right now, it's only on YouTube, which is crazy, and that's not how I like to consume my podcast, so hopefully Relic changes that soon. But this is just a push. It's a plug and a push. I like to do both. But either way, sure. I did listen to it on YouTube, and it is an incredible episode. They talk about a lot of interesting stuff, ranging from the competitive experience to the casual experience, something similar to what you'll find in this show. However, it is just a lot of great people and more perspectives on Pokemon Unite is awesome, and it gives me a podcast to listen to because listening to my own voice is not fun.
Horrible.
Thank you all for joining so much. It's been a blast having you all here. And if you made it this far in the video, if you're on YouTube, please comment below what mega Pokemon are actually coming to Unite. We talked a lot about the potentials. What are the two mega Pokemon coming to Unite? Please let us know. But otherwise, we'll see you next week, Dunkheads. Have a good one and enjoy Groudon. Steal those buffs. Bye-bye.